us that Adam was the first man, and that he sinned, and when he sinned, all men died in him because all men sinned. We'll find that, I believe, in the 5th chapter of Romans. And so, but you see, God's people, I don't know why, they will not, they've got this idea in their mind that if God has got to give every man a chance, or he's not fair, or it's not right. And they judge God in their mind. That's what they're doing when they say that. And beloved, what we have to go by, you can talk to 10 people and you get 10 different ideas. I believe this. I believe this. I believe that. Well, that's the reason we've got so many different denominations in the Christian religion, not to speak of all the other religions, is because I believe this. I believe this. And people can be persuaded to believe most anything. I mean, that's obvious when you look around in the world today. And regardless of what somebody come up with, somebody will seem like they'll believe it and they'll follow it. And that's why we need to be so careful to know what the Word of God teaches and to be willing to humble ourselves and to be willing to accept what the Word of God says. And so the Word of God teaches us that the natural man will not seek after God, and that he does not love God. There's no fear of God in his eyes, and therefore he will not come to God. As a matter of fact, it says that the natural mind is enmity with God. I mean, it's hostile to God, because when you think about it, it shouldn't be hard to understand. If you have a sinful mind, if you have a sinful nature, if you have a mind and a will that is directed and influenced by your sinful nature, and God is holy and without sin and abhors sin and judges sin, it stands to reason that there's going to be a conflict there, that between the holiness of God and the sinfulness of a sinner, there's going to be some enmity and hostility there. And that's just what the Scriptures teach us. But it's not hard to understand, it's just hard to accept. It's hard for in our carnal ideas and in our sinful understanding and will of man, we want to fashion this thing the way it suits us in our present condition, and that's what man does and what he's been trying to do. And so they, but sin then, we get on down. He says, sin says, whom by him do believe in God? Well, let's say, but with the precious blood of Christ, you will not. But by your vain traditions from your fathers. And you see, you've been redeemed from corruptible things, it says. From your vain conversation, your citizen, that word conversation is the same thing as we'd say citizenship today. From your vain way of life received by tradition from your fathers. And so we're not redeemed by silver and gold, But corruptible things. The things of this world are corruptible and under curse and shall pass away. But we've been received with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, the lamb offered under the law service, and that's what Peter, he was preaching to the Jews that were scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, and so forth. And they knew they've been offering the Lamb of God for 1,500 years, and it had to be a male lamb, and it had to be under 1 year old, I believe it was, and it had to be without spot and without blemish. It couldn't be sick, nor blind, nor lame. You couldn't get rid of your discard, you know, through sacrifice. And this was because it was a picture of the Lamb of God, who is Jesus Christ. And that's what he's telling them, said, You were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Unto you whom believe, he says in another place, he is precious. And beloved, the more we believe, the more we understand to believe, the more precious he gets. The more precious the Word of God becomes when we see just what the God Almighty and his precious Son and the Holy Ghost has done for condemned sinners who standing under the wrath of God, and justly so. Beloved, when the high priest put his hands on that heifer, on that ox, on that bullock, or on that head of that goat, or the head of that ram, and confessed his sins, and the high priest in case of him for himself, and then he offered one for Israel, and he confessed all the sins and all the iniquities on the head of the scapegoat. And what he was doing, beloved, was that they said that goat faced north, I believe, but his face was turned towards the east, and the high priest stood there and faced him. And when he put his hands on there, he understood that what he was doing was he was transferring his sins to that animal. He was imputing his sins to that animal, and that animal, who didn't know nothing in the world about what was going on there, was going to die. I mean, he was going to shed his blood, and they were going to catch that blood in a basin, and they were going to put it on the four horns of the altar, and depending on what the occasion was, it was to be sprinkled at different places on different things. And the Day of Atonement, it went into Holy of Holies. So they understood that the sins of Israel was transferred on that animal, and God accepted the life of that animal, the blood of that animal, for Israel. And they said they fell down on their faces and worshiped. When the high priest come back out of the holies of holies and was still living, they fell down and worshiped, because they understood that God had accepted that sacrifice. And beloved, that's a picture of Jesus, our Savior, the Lamb of God. Now our sins were put on him. I mean, they were transferred on to him. And he who knew no sin was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so we were not redeemed by corruptible things like silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus. He was a body. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost in a virgin woman that never knew a man. And that body was holy. And that holy thing that shall be born of thee, the angel said, shall be called the Son of God. Emmanuel with us. God tabernacled among men here in the flesh. And so... And the blood of the life of that body, the life of the body is in the blood. And the blood of his life was poured out. He gave his life. And so we were redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, who was ordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested at least in these last times for you. So God knew that Adam would sin. He didn't predestinate him to sin, but he, in the foreknowledge of God, knows all things. And he did not make him sin because it was disobedience. When Adam sinned, he disobeyed God. And so he didn't pre-program him to sin. And he made him a man and innocent, but he certainly knew he was going to fall because our redemption was already provided before we sinned. So Christ was ordained before the foundation of the world. A lamb slain from the foundation of the world was manifest in these last times. After 4,000 years, he came, manifested in the flesh. The seed of the woman, which had been promised from the very beginning, came. And he said, and by him who do believe in God that raised him up from the dead, that your faith and hope might be in God. And Christ has raised from the dead, and in doing this, he has begotten us again into a lively hope. That he has already referred to over here. And it says, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love with the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. So the apostle says you have purified your soul. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And so here it would look like that the brethren, if you're believing already that through the preached word that you're born again, it looks like here that man can do something to purify himself by believing the word of God and by exercise and faith. But it says, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. And it is only through the Spirit of God that we have faith to start with. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit over in the 15th chapter of Acts. The Apostle Peter, same Peter, says something like this. When he had, they were having a debate up in Jerusalem about whether man should be circumcised or not, and how much of the law service should be believed and observed in this gospel dispensation, and they had gone up to discuss that. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, "Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the necks of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they." And so he is saying that he went down to Cornelius' house and preached the gospel down there. And while he was preaching to them, the Holy Ghost come on them, just as it did on Peter and the ones in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And they called for baptism, and they were baptized. And so the apostle says it, and he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. And so without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we read that all men have not faith, the Apostle Paul tells us. And so then the question is then, how is it that we have faith? And where does it come from? Well, Ephesians says, "By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." And the fruits of the Spirit that's listed in the Galatian letter, one of the fruits of the Spirit is the gift of God. And so by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, by the grace of the Holy Ghost, God's people are moved upon by the Holy Ghost and quickened. And the Lord established that beyond doubt when he said that except a man be born of the Spirit of God and of water, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except he be born from above or by the Spirit of God, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then he says, that which is of the Spirit is spirit, and that which is of the flesh is flesh. And in another place he says, the flesh profiteth nothing. And so Nicodemus, you know, he was thinking about the natural birth and referred back to it, but the Lord said, that's of the flesh. That which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the Spirit is spirit. And so to be born of the Spirit of God, naturally, it is by the Spirit. And the flesh has no part in it. As a matter of fact, the flesh profiteth nothing. He that is in the flesh, the Apostle Paul said, cannot please God. Well, why is that, beloved? Because the flesh is corrupt. And that's what the Apostle says. Seeing here says, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Well, being born now, we are born of corruptible seed. That's why, beloved, we're headed for the graveyard. Is because we are born of corruptible seed. The Lord told Adam and Eve, he said, the day that you eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. And die we will. Die they did, and die we will. Die and we shall die. And because we are born of corruptible seed. But now, the apostle says, seeing you born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And that word there is logos. Now down here, it's rhema. Being born again, but not of corruptible seed, but by the word, the logos, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. In 1 John, in the first chapter of John, it says, in the beginning was the word logos. In the beginning was the logos. And the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. And everything was made by him, that's been made, was made by him. And so here, the word, this word here, is talking about none other but the second person of the Trinity, the word, the living word of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And all flesh is as grass, and we're dying and fadeth away. But the word of the Lord, and this word here in the Greek is rhema, which means like speech. And said, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel, and this word again here is rhema. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And so though these two words seem to be almost interchangeable, yet there's a world of difference in them. Christ said, the words that I speak, I receive of my Father, and they are spirit and they are life. And when the Lord speaks the words, they are spirit and they are life. But when I speak the very same words that's been recorded, been written and recorded, they don't have, they're not spirit and they're not life. I mean, I can't go out in the graveyard and raise the dead, but the Lord did. And why was that? They heard his word. They heard his speech. The word logos embraces the idea of thought, concept. The word logos just doesn't mean the word spoken like rhema does, speech, but it embraces the thought process, the idea. You know, we can conceive ideas in our mind. I mean, when you want to build a birdhouse, you build it right up here first. You design a birdhouse in your mind. You conceive of things up there. And that word logos embraces all of thought process and concepts and ideas. And so Jesus Christ is the image of God. He's the concept. I mean, if we want to see God, we see Jesus. And he's the very image of his glory. He's the image of the invisible God. And Christ is the Word, the concept of God. I mean, as far as mankind is concerned, Jesus Christ is the fullness of God. The fullness of the Godhead dwelling in him bodily, in the God-man, Jesus Christ. And so anybody that's born of the Spirit of God is born by the living Word, by the Word of God, Jesus Christ, born of God. I mean, you say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they're all God. And so they are, when you say you're regenerated by the Holy Spirit, that's God. And the Son hath life in himself, he's God. And the Father hath life in himself, and he quickeneth whom he will, the Son said. And so they're all three God, and they're all three credited with the given life and quickening whom they will, because they're all one. These three are one. And so we have this wonderful, wonderful doctrine here. And we want to express and to that the word that is preached here, this word is preached unto you by the gospel. So the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the written word. We have the word. The prophets were inspired. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so the Holy Ghost was the author of these words. The Word of God is inspired by the Holy Ghost. And we have that. And through this word, through the gospel, these words are preached unto you. But you're born again by the Logos word, by the living Word of God, and not by the preached word, because all the scriptures have to harmonize. You just can't pick up a verse of scripture here and say, you see, this teaches that you are born again by the preaching of the gospel, which if you wedded to that idea, that's what this would mean to you. And you know, people take up the Bible to try to verify what they already believe, and they'll read, they'll hunt up those scriptures that will support what they already believe. And in order for God's people to be converted, beloved, we need to pick up the Bible and say, Lord, show me thy truth. Show me thy truth. I mean, if I'm not deceived, that's what happened to me. That's the reason I'm an old Baptist today, beloved. It's not by some grand decision I made. It's because they had the truth. they could tell me the truth of the matter. Just how is a soul delivered from the bondage of sin and the slavery of the devil? Just how does that new man and new creature get in there? Well, I tell you, beloved, how it happens. It's of God. Salvation is of the Lord. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. It started way back through in eternity before the foundation of the world. God has given a people to His Son. And through His gracious love and mercy, He said, I'll come and redeem them. They were lost when Adam sinned. They fell. They fell from their state of innocency. They fell from fellowship with God. They went and hid. They began to hate God, to hide from Him, to suspect Him, to become suspicious, and run off into ignorance and to superstition and into idolatry, and to go their own way and lean to their own understanding. And that's what we're told, lean not to your own understanding, but follow after the Spirit. The natural man wants to lean to his own understanding and not follow after the Spirit of God. And that's what we have to fight. We have to fight that inclination and to come to this place. Lord, there's voices out here crying, this is the way, this is the way. There's voices over here crying, this is the way, this is the way. And they're just, there's all kinds of winds of doctrine blowing about. Beloved, man, each one of them has got a way that they'll tell you how to get to heaven or how to get saved or what to do and how to do it. But what is the truth? I mean, if they're all different, they can't be all right, can they? And we can't all be right. We can all be wrong. We can all be wrong. And for a while there, you know, that's about the conclusion I come to. That, you know, we just no, you know, there's no solving it. I was so confused, and I was reading everything I could. I was running around every church I could get into, listening to every preacher come to town. And beloved, but yet I could not lay it down. I mean, I just believed that this was the Word of God and that it was true. And I just knew that there's bound to be some understanding there, and I just couldn't put it together. And then the Lord said that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. What is the church? Which one is the church? Well, one of the marks is that it's got the truth. It can explain to you what salvation is, where it comes from, how you get it, what the effects of it are, and it can tell you something about the true and living God, because the church is the church of the true and living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And beloved, if I'm not deceived, the Lord led me in the way to a people that could tell me what these words meant, and separate them and put the rightly divide the word of truth. It's all the word of truth, it just to be rightly divided. And salvation, then, we don't want to sell the preaching of the word of God short, beloved. If we didn't have it, we wouldn't be here today. Now, the visible local church is dependent on the preaching of the gospel and the word of God. And our ordinances and the things that we enjoy in the kingdom of God is a result of us having the written word of God and the preaching of the gospel. We don't want to sell it short, but neither do we want to rob God of His glory and take that which belongs to God and put it in the hands of men and think that the kingdom of heaven and the church of God is dependent upon the hands of men. God uses men to in His services, in His kingdom, but salvation is of the Lord. And Jesus said, I will build my church. He didn't say we, He didn't say you, didn't say Peter. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The God can add to the church daily such as should be saved. Who is it that should be added to the church? Well, them that are converted, like Peter was. Peter was already a child of God. He was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was certainly a child of God, but he needed to be converted. He needed to be delivered from that doctrine that man can do this and man can do that and man can do this, to that salvation is of the Lord. And when we come to that place, beloved, then we are candidate for the church, to be added to the church. When we see Jesus as all in all, the King of our kingdom, the Lord of our life, the Savior of our soul, the sacrifice for our sin, the altar, the sacrifice was laid on, and the high priest had offered it up to God. He's all of it, beloved. He's all of it. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, and He's mighty to save, able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. May the Lord add His blessings to His precious word. There's one or more here today that would love to publicly confess His name and go down in the liquid grave and be baptized and join this church in obedience to your Savior and your God. We'll give you that privilege while we're assembled together. Let's sing a verse or two. What shall we sing, brethren? Page 86. And we'll strike the glad hands of fellowship as we sing, if you have a mind to.
Alas, and did
my
Savior be, and did my sovereign die, would he be both that sacred name on such a worm as I?
Next second Sunday will be conference. conferencing.
And we'd like to have all our members.
Yes, sir.
To participate in the conferencing.
Yeah, that is your duty and privilege. Follow this. We have way back to work, and after lunch, we have our conferencing. You just take just a few minutes. We look forward to you staying for that. I don't have any appointments. We're up in July. Well, maybe since I want to be the second in July before I'll be here, maybe. L. Powell from Old Redding will be with church at Mill Creek the 21st of July, which is Wednesday night. And it'll be up at Crossroads in Virginia. And it'll be at Pleasantville and Statesville Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. And then Sunday night, the 25th of July, it'll be at Saints of Light. And Monday night, the 26th, will be with us at Pine Church. And the 27th, will be at Church of Salisbury. Is that on the Sunday night? All hearts and minds satisfied with that story. This is Christmas. Kind and merciful Father and blessed Savior, to again we come to bow and thank you for thy tender mercy and loving kindnesses that thou bestowed upon us. Thank you again for thy church, for the God of the heart thou hast given us in it, and in thy kingdom. Lord, dismiss us and have thy care. We each go our separate way, be our man of darkness and our strength of weakness. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.